Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers everything Ashes of Creation related. My name is Frenzy. I'm joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello again.
And if you're not familiar, we break down all the information that's out there for Ashes of Creations, dev streams, conversations, game mechanics, and hopefully kind of give you an easier way to, you know, learn a little bit about the game. And if you enjoy that, we would love to have you as a subscriber on YouTube or subscribe to us on your podcast service of choice and join our Discord for some additional conversation if you're interested. But we'll kick it off as we always do with what have you been playing this week, Sub?
Space Marine 2, Deadlock, and getting ready for WoW Season 1 because it caters more to solo, and I'm not really into the group play for WoW anymore, so I'm excited to try that solo anyway.
Yeah, I definitely will play Space Marine 2. It looks really cool, and I love all things Warhammer 40k, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, I haven't been doing too much myself, mainly just Deadlock. Been a little busy this week playing a little Baldur's Gate 3 as well, and just kind of, you know, running through new class and stuff like that, which is always fun. But yeah, keeping busy, but we're getting closer and closer to Ashes. Hopefully that it'll be a lot easier to say what we're playing each week when the Alpha 2 comes out, because every weekend it'll probably be Alpha 2. So
with the servers only up every weekend, there's gonna be time for all this stuff. So
yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It'll definitely be dominating our weekend playing, but I'm sure we'll be playing other stuff through the week because, you know, we won't have any other options. So, but we're going to dive into kind of our final breakdown of the Alpha 2 phases here. Particularly today, we're going to be digging into the Alpha 2 Phase 3, the final phase, which, I don't know, gives me like Avengers phase vibes for some reason, but so the plan is to kind of just break it all down again, throwing this out there, especially with this phase, because this is not even coming till May of next year. Like, we have no idea if it's going to be on time, B, if, like, you know, what's, you know, we have some ideas of what might be in it, but we don't know if it's going to get pushed back or things are going to be cut, or again, as they've always kind of said to us, or they've said to us kind of in this whole roadmap update, we don't know if, you know, what's going to be at the start of the phase versus the end of the phase. And this is going to be by far the longest phase as well. So it's expected phase 3 will last at least a year, coming again early May, supposedly May 1st. Probably I would expect that to change at some point, just my opinion. But, you know, that could mean potentially 2026, you know, it could take us into easily and maybe even longer than that. So, again, I expect a lot to change, and we don't know exactly when things will be in precisely. But some other things to look forward to for phase 3. We're going to be transitioning in phase 1. We get weekend playtests, essentially your 3-day playtests, give or take. And then we're going to transition in phase 2 to 5-day playtests. And then we're going to move on to 24/7 uptime in phase 3. So kind of essentially what we would expect during launch, right? And that'll be a big moment, like when servers are constantly up, things are constantly going on. And yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. But we're going to kind of dig into all the nooks and crannies, all the information that we know about the roadmap, subject to change. I'm going to say that probably too much here, but I'm trying to get out of the way so you don't have to keep hearing me talk about it. But we'll kind of break it down similar to what we did last time, starting off with like world and node stuff, new things that we kind of expect in these areas, starting with potentially two new zones. So the Turquoise Sea. So definitely sea and naval and like underwater stuff is going to be a big part of this phase, which I'm really excited for. I think that's kind of a cool thing that not a lot of games and some MMOs delve into. I know Dark Age did, and I can't remember about WoW, but also the Anvils, which is kind of like a mountainous, I think it's area, and we're kind of where, like, I think the dwarves are from, the dwarf related species, I guess, in this. And so we're definitely going to be getting some of that. There's going to be more unique node layouts, and you'll be able to build up to node level 5, which is cities. So the highest you can get to before level 6, which is metropolises. So that's going to be pretty significant. Those are going to be pretty big. There's going to be now options for military and divine elections for nodes. And there's also going to be things like node atrophy. So like nodes can regress potentially. So maybe it gets to a city and then it, you know, regresses because whatever reasoning or there's war, who knows? And so that'll be kind of interesting to see. More policies. There's going to be node happiness. And there's going to be more mayoral commissions and additional service buildings you can place in there. So a lot of things, a lot of things going on. I don't know if like you want to start off by kind of talking about like the nodes and the new zones or the new areas, which I think will be a lot of fun. This, the sea stuff really interests me. I don't know why. I've always been kind of interested in like sea combat and sea exploration in games. So that'll be kind of fun to see how they handle that.
Depends how they do it, because a lot of other games have done it pretty mid. I mean, there's some games that have done underwater content amazing. Cough, Subnautica, shout out.
Yeah, for sure.
But WoW did have an underwater zone they tried in Cataclysm, and while a lot of people love the zone, it just was kind of, it was a very slow zone, and like the mentality of WoW was like need for speed, you know. The people who loved that zone the most were people who like, you know, like story and exploring, which it was a cool zone. It's just they never kind of really went back to stuff like that after that zone, because I think it was the least popular zone. Because in Cataclysm, when it launched, you could choose between two starter zones to kind of split the population up a little bit, and most people chose Hyjal, which was the, you know, the mountain zone instead of the underwater zone. So I really want to see how they're going to deal with underwater. I know they have underwater mounts. WoW kind of had one too for that zone specifically. But again, I just felt like people were used to flying in WoW, and the zone was, like I said, a little slower. And, you know, back then, that was 2010, if you could believe it. So back then, I was a Need for Speed Annie, and I skipped that zone because I knew it was slower. So I did Hyjal. I did Mount Hyjal for level 1. I did go back eventually and do that zone, like when I was max level, just to see it. But it was a cool zone. It's just it could have went under a few more iterations, I think.
Yeah. So,
and I'm really interested in the mountain zone too.
Yeah, for sure. I remember. I actually have a memory of the. I think it was a whole expansion for Dark Age of Camelot, right? Trials of Atlantis, right? I think I played a little bit of that, and that was kind of. I don't know. I thought that was really fun. Like, I really do. I don't know why I've always been kind of attracted to like anything that happens in space, like as an environment, and anything that's like underwater. So I do like Subnautica is one of my favorite games. And so I remember like playing some of Trials of Atlantis, and that was pretty fun and pretty interesting. Maybe it wasn't, I don't know. I know there was a lot of issues too with it, some other things.
It also killed the game.
But I did like the underwater element of it, because I felt like that was very unique at the time for like an MMO. Obviously there were some mechanics that came in that were not that great, that did kind of, you know, mess things up a little bit there. But I did think it was cool, like the setting. So I am going to be really interested to see how they kind of handle everything and how big of a role it might play. And, you know, will you be able to, like, obviously the interaction between, like, you know, the sea stuff and like the sea areas, as well as like kind of naval combat and naval gameplay and stuff like that's going to be really big, which we'll get into a little bit more later. But yeah, and the anvil sounds really cool too, just like a mountainous terrain kind of, you know, I kind of picture like, you know, Ironforge vibes, which is like, For my money, one of the best experiences like in an MMO, like going into Ironforge for like the first time and just exploring that was really fun. So I'm curious to see how Ashes handles, you know, those kind of like more mountainous, dwarven kind of areas. But it should be a lot of fun to explore for sure.
Yeah, there's one thing Blizzard is known for is its art team, and they are A S tier. They're like literally the best when it comes, even if the expansion ends up being a not so good. The art team just absolutely nails the zone. Like, Shadowlands was considered one of the worst expansions, but all the zones were just incredible looking. Like, they nailed it.
Yeah.
But, I'm interested to, I'm hoping at least with the underwater zones, like the Turquoise Sea and stuff, if maybe there probably will be some islands out there, hopefully. Yeah. But hopefully it'll be, like, a place where, like, maybe you can do underwater missions with your, like, naval dive in for salvage or something. I'm not sure
that'd be awesome.
how far they're gonna go with that in this game, or treasure hunting, like underwater treasure hunting would be cool. And as much as I know we're talking about two zones here, as much as I'm interested in the Anvil's Awful also, because I do love it, I feel like a lot of games don't really nail their underwater zones. That's why I'm talking about it a little bit more, because it is a little more difficult to nail, because, you know, water slows you down, and I mean, but this game is doing some more unique stuff with like naval and stuff, so I guess we'll see. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how that zone comes out.
Yeah, I think it's harder to world build like underwater, because one, there's like a potentially like a three-dimensional element, right? You're not just like essentially stuck on the ground. You have to think about people going up and down, you know, so there's elements of that and just, you know, some other limitations. But yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I am interested to kind of digging into, like, so I was doing some more research because, you know, we'd mentioned it last time, there's going to be new unique node layouts. So it kind of looks like, I guess, when we're talking about like nodes, and particularly when we're building up these nodes, you know, you can kind of put them into different layouts. And I think, again, this is probably subject to change, because some of this information was older, based on older information. So I don't know what's changed exactly since then. But like, you'll be able to essentially kind of like determine like the layout of the node. And like, that may be a limiting factor for, you know, when you decide to kind of specialize the node. Like, is it a military node? Is it a divine node? Like, it may need to be in a certain layout potentially to do that. And this can affect things like building types and like where you place buildings. So it's going to be really interesting to see, like, with all these different node layouts and kind of how they play out. And kind of talking about like Ironforge in particular, because again, with this phase three, you know, we're expected to be able to reach node level 5, which is a city, which obviously cities play a pretty big role in MMOs historically, you know, whether it's, you know, World of Warcraft with Ironforge, or, you know, Stormwind, or, you know, whatever. I'm sure there's Horde cities that I never played and went to. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, in Star Wars Galaxies, it was like Tatooine, you know, you're going to, you know, Bespin and all these other places, you know, well, maybe not Bespin, but places on Tatooine that I can't think of the names. You know, Mos Espa. There we go. I thought of one finally. So it'll be kind of interesting to see like how like these cities feel. Obviously, you know, it's not going to be like, there's not going to be a level design team. There's not going to be an art team. It's really going to be based on like how players kind of structure things in the layout. And so I'm curious to see if these cities are going to have the same feeling, because maybe they aren't as like handcrafted, and they're a little bit more subject to like player change, which could make it cool too, because players can do some interesting things. But will they kind of have that same feeling of like walking into Ironforge or Stormwind, or, you know, for the first time, because they aren't going to be as like hand designed from the ground up. But I think it'll be interesting to see, based on the layouts and the customization, how it works out.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like how much, I guess, customization will they give to, like, they'll design the art and stuff for these specific node layouts, but like, how far can players take it with, like, you know, the actual layout? Like, can they place different buildings in different spots? Can they make their houses look different enough to make each city unique, which I would love, but it's also a colossal undertaking by the team.
Yeah,
right? Like, it's like, at least with like World of Warcraft, right, you are going into a city, it was developer design, but, you know, it's there, you know where everything is, whereas player run cities, it's going to be different. If they allow that much customization and freedom, then it's going to be different in every city, and you're probably going to end up just hanging out in one city you may know best. Maybe you won't, but I mean, usually people are comfortable hanging out in one city, and it's like, at least for me, if I go back to World of Warcraft and all of its player hubs and stuff, I always fall back to Stormwind because I know that city the best, right? But yeah, like, people do like familiarity, and if it changes a lot, I mean, I guess we'll see. Hopefully they have a good system, like a mini map system, to show like if a building moved or something, that you could track the icons for it on your mini map or something. I mean, that's going to be key for player run cities, because people need to know where stuff is, and they, like, I'm fine with exploring and stuff, but like, I think for convenience reasons, they should definitely have, especially if players have that much control over city layouts and stuff, that they should 100% have icons on the mini map, or if you could toggle them on and off, so you can at least find where you want to go quick enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I definitely think they'll. I'm sure they'll be like in Star Wars Galaxies had that too. Like even in like player cities, like they still had like markers and things like that, so you kind of knew like where certain buildings were and things like that. So I'm sure they'll be able to have like things like that. But I guess
even
good.
Sorry, I was gonna say, or even player made signs that they could put up, like street signs saying, "Hey, the blacksmith is that way," right, or something like that. That would be cool too.
Yeah, yeah. No. Like,
whatever they seem fit, and all obviously for accessibility reasons, mini map icons are probably the best. But if you wanna just follow a street sign that a player put up, that'd be cool too.
Yeah, like I think Star Wars Galaxies even had it was like a skill that you could unlock. I think it was under the artisan branch, kind of like the default, like. Artisan class that like you could even like place like a POI like on the map like with your business or like you know like your city if you were like a guild and things like that, so you know who knows, I'm sure like stuff that's all viable for sure.
That's a great idea too. Like if you have a player run shop, you can kind of like mark it.
Yeah,
POI.
could be overwhelming at times. There was filters as well, so certain things.
Yeah, as long as the dev gives you the filters and tools necessary to do stuff, I don't see it being a huge problem.
Yeah, it was. I was just more like bringing it up because it'll be interesting to see. Like, obviously, the benefit of like having all this customization and being able to decide and like which buildings are in your city and like certain layouts will, you know, will give some level of customization. But I do wonder if the awe factor will be there, like when we're talking about, you know, like walking into like some, you know, classic MMO like cities, like, you know, World of Warcraft, Ironforge, you know, Stormwind, things like that. So will that still be there? Because, you know, they won't obviously be kind of like designing it themselves, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe it'll just be more exciting because again, it is a player city. It's player driven. Maybe you helped, you know, do commissions to help, you know, build the city. So maybe that'll add kind of a layer of like making it your own and kind of feeling it's your city, even if it's not maybe having some of those like cool customization things. Like, my favorite thing ever was the tram from Stormwind to Ironforge, like going kind of under the water, so to speak, riding the tram. Like that was just a lot of fun. So we might not get some of that elements like when we're talking about like these custom node layouts and stuff, but it still should be, I think, a lot of fun kind of seeing these cities pop up and kind of grow over time too.
You want to know a fun little fact about the tram between Stormwind and Ironforge since you mentioned it? I know we're talking about ashes, but I want to. There's a part where you go underwater and like I've where's the underwater part that you go under between Stormwind and Ironforge?
Right.
And I don't remember where that was unless it was like, you know, an actual underwater zone that they haven't put in the game yet. I know a lot of people could say, oh, it was this. I just never was able to figure it out myself. Maybe someone else did, but just a fun little fact.
Yeah, I picture it being like some kind of like, I don't know, because honestly, like Stormwind and Ironforge are, you know, decently far apart, like not nearly the distance like the tram was traveled. So in my mind, it was like some magical, like dimensional thing you're going through or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that was always really cool.
It was cool, which is fine. But
yeah, I mean, I just thought it looked cool. That was always like one of my favorite things was riding the tram in that game. So again, we may not get stuff like that exactly, but I think it'll still be cool. Obviously, we're getting some like more node systems in the game too. So atrophy regression of the nodes, like that'll be a lot of fun, like dealing with like the politics and, you know, how people are kind of keeping up with the nodes and stuff like that. Node happiness, which is it's a whole major system as I was kind of researching it. Basically, like you can make your node happier through like certain policies and having certain doing certain things within the node, obviously. And so like that in for certain buildings to kind of be available, like you have to hit like a certain threshold of node happiness. So that should be kind of interesting to see and like how that all kind of plays out. Obviously more mayoral commissions and obviously more service buildings. I'm always a big fan of because that just means, you know, more opportunities to, you know, kind of progress the node and more services that we can utilize in the game and stuff, which should be a lot of fun.
Node happiness. So basically if the mayor is not doing his job, I can be like, me sad.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, there's a whole,
it almost reminds me of Frostpunk where it's like, you know, you ain't keeping up you're not keeping your city up to snuff and they get mad at you. As much as I would love for a system where like if the node was so unhappy they could just, like, you know, protest outside the mayor's house and like throw them out, that would be funny as heck. But I mean, I don't know if they're gonna do that for, you know, gameplay reasons, but it still would be funny.
Let me craft my picket sign.
You could still
can...
maybe you could still do player run protests outside the mayor house, but, you know, get him to change his policies.
That's right. I'm crafting picket signs for everybody, and we're gonna protest them. No, but it's pretty cool.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth. I won't go into. Maybe it could be a whole podcast episode. But node happiness is actually a pretty major mechanic in the game. So that'll be interesting.
It kind of ties into atrophy policies and happiness. I guess. Yeah, that we could do something about that.
Yeah, because it's a bigger deal than I thought it was. I kind of like clicked on it. I was like, oh, node happiness. Like, what's this? And I was like, oh man, there's there's a lot going on here. So that could be a whole thing that we dig into. But you know, for the sake of just kind of this breakdown, we won't get too in depth with it. But yeah, so we'll be getting those systems. So maybe we'll be building up a lot of these nodes. But by this time, you know, maybe some of these nodes will be dying, or you know, maybe our mayor, we're going to have like a Slack mayor in one of these nodes and they're, you know, not doing anything. So maybe they'll atrophy or something. And we kind of see how that plays out, but it should be a lot of fun. I mean, I think that's a lot. That's pretty big for like the world. And two new areas, bunch of new layouts. Obviously, I think the node level 5 is going to be pretty massive, and kind of like seeing what these cities can kind of look like. And obviously, like the two different node types coming online, mayor and divine elections for nodes. That should be pretty cool to see them, especially the divine, because that's obviously like these are really like the PvE type cities too, like potentially where we could have like dungeons within them, based on some of our previous research that we did on nodes. So that could be kind of cool to see how they play out and function in the game.
Yeah, and it'll be also just interesting to see how much they do change.
Yeah,
because we talked about node types before, and I'm wondering how much they will actually change based on feedback and development too. It's just another thing. It's like a lot of these, like I said, divine node is kind of more PvE oriented from what I've read about, and I'm wondering if they will just I do think that's important that they have a PvE node, and I'm just wondering like how much will change based on what they've said about it already, and like, and how much feedback will play into that, because they are very feedback oriented. So I would love to. Yeah, I guess the most exciting thing is just watching the devs react to the players. Like, they have good foundations here, and then we can see them react in real time. And hopefully we get to do events with the devs, you know, and like stuff like that, because I would love to just... I think I played a couple of World of Warcraft betas where the dev team was on the beta, and I talked to them in real time, and they actually implemented feedback. It took them a while, but I was like, when Dragonflight was in beta, I was like, you should make it so... They added something called crafting orders, and they made it so... I said, you should make it so people can, you know, do crafting orders for old world stuff, too. And they eventually added it, so... Not for launch, but, you know, the dev thought it was a cool idea, so...
Yeah. It's good that they're listening, and it does seem like they do listen. So yeah, a lot of world node stuff for sure. That's pretty big stuff coming in phase 3. Again, we'll see what we get as phase 3 launches, hopefully in May, and what we end up with. But yeah, we'll dig a little bit into it again. Not too much to dig into here, so we're just kind of highlighting what to expect for kind of like different races, archetypes, weapons. Again, without access to kind of, you know, seeing some of these things and like skill trees, we don't know exactly, but some cool stuff going on here. Again, 4 additional races. I am not going to try to pronounce any of them. I'm sure there is pronunciation available. I'm sure Steven said them at some point, but 4 new races. So that's always cool. Some different options for you. Should be hopefully getting the summoner archetype. So for those of you that like kind of like pet classes, maybe you'll finally get to experience that. That should be fun. Secondary archetype specialization for the cleric and tank. That's pretty significant. So we can actually get our classes for the first time with those two archetypes. And I think that'll be a really big deal if we get to get that, because we can see how everything functions and what, you know, cause I think it's become over time, like more of like a thing of like, it's not going to necessarily be game changing when we get into the classes, but it's going to allow you for some more additional specialization, but not too overboard, because I think it would just be too crazy to have like 64 classes like that were totally different from each other. And we're also going to be getting 3 additional weapons, the orb, the one-handed axe, as well as one-handed sword pierce. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I guess maybe almost like a different style with like a one-hand sword, maybe more piercing versus slashing. So that could be kind of interesting to see. But I think the biggest thing, obviously, the races, the specialization, and obviously the summoner archetype is a pretty big deal. I remember you, I think in Dark Age, you played a pretty good bit of Necromancer, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe you might try, or at least like when we were leveling up classes, because they were really good for leveling up classes, kind of power leveling. But it should be kind of see how the summoner plays out and kind of plays in the game too.
I don't believe there was a necromancer in Dark Age. There was a bone dancer. I guess it's kind of the same thing.
I think there was a necromancer.
There was a bone dancer where you had an army of skeletons that would follow you around. It's been so long. That's the only one I remember. They were annoying as hell to 1v1. You could not beat them.
There definitely was a necromancer class in Dark Age of Camelot, but...
I think you're thinking of the bone dancer.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I was just looking it up, because I was actually looking up the Trials of Atlantis stuff, and apparently the necromancer is wearing priest class or something like that. But
anyways. I might have stopped playing when they added it, because I did stop playing when WoW came out, and that's kind of around that area. The only one I remember was the Bone Dancer. It's like you had a bunch of minions in it, and I played on the free-for-all server, so they were super annoying. Like, they were so strong 1v1, they would just insta-life steal you, and then they had pets that would heal you and interrupt you, and holy moly.
Yeah, this is really interesting.
It was impossible to 1v1 them. Like, unless you were another Bone Dancer, they would just... You couldn't kill them.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I think it was like an Albion class or something like that, but...
Yeah, I might have added it later, but I stopped playing.
Yeah, time, so. But obviously, so that'll be cool, Summoner, and we'll see like kind of maybe the different flavor they go with it. I don't know if it's going to be exactly like a Necromancer. It may have some other component to it, too. But yeah, that should be a lot of fun. I think the specializations, getting those and actually getting your classes versus just your primary archetype is going to be a big deal. Again, I've heard like the word, I think the word of the day for specialization or like your classes has been augment, which I think is kind of interesting. So kind of like powering up certain parts of it, or maybe adding some like smaller additional features for each kind of archetype. So that'll be really cool to at least get our hands on it for tank and cleric. And then I imagine it's going to set the foundation for a lot of the other classes once they start to add in like that secondary archetype and kind of like becoming your class. So it'll be cool to see how that functions.
Yeah, and they're rolling it out really slow because, you know, there's a lot to test here. So I think initially when they do roll it out, it's going to kind of be annoying because only the cleric and tank are targeted first. And so like some classes are going to feel weaker than others because they can dip into their secondary archetype already. But I understand why they're rolling it out slow, because these things are very delicate to get right, and it's okay. I mean, I think they're still doing it the right way instead of throwing it all at you at once, because that could also create more havoc than you would want.
Yeah.
I know it's a test environment and havoc is kind of going to be in there, but I feel like just for the sake of getting it right, they should, them keeping it limited to two class or archetypes is probably for the best, at least for testing reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still going to give us a lot, potentially, assuming they do all the specialization, because potentially each archetype is going to have 8 different class options. So, like, that's 16 right there, but the potential for 64, that's a lot. So that is a lot of things to figure out. And again, I think it'll just be fun to kind of play around with and see how it works and functions. And you know, and see, like, is it super impactful, or is it just kind of like a minor addition to our classes and things like that, or to our archetypes? So that'll be kind of fun to see. But
I think it will be significantly impactful, but not as impactful as some people think, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to feel like
I think it's going to be, it's going to be like, I do think they'll be significantly impactful. Like, I don't want to speculate too much because I don't know. We don't know exactly how far they're going to go with the archetype mix in here to make your class. So, like I said, in theory, you could mix like a rogue and a tank, and I just don't know what that would entail. A lot of people could be like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they got to go at least far enough to make a rogue tank mix decent if it is a tank, right? Or it's just maybe a really beefy rogue or something. So yeah, like I said, with these 64 combinations, it's a very delicate balance of how they want it to work. So
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
And that could be something we dig into a little bit more too later on, especially once we get our hands on these different classes and see how they actually function. But
yeah, it's definitely by far the most interesting thing, and they probably will give a dev blog updates before they actually drop these to see how we'll get a taste of how they're gonna work. So.
Definitely. So that should be fun. We're going to dig into the systems a little bit here, which is a pretty good amount of systems, but some major and some more just like, I think things you would expect typically with a current present day MMO. And so things like fully functional guilds, which I imagine, they didn't elaborate much beyond that, but like, we know that guilds are potentially going to have like skill trees and progression to them. So I expect maybe things like that we'll see, as well as guild freeholds. Obviously that's a big deal. Something that I think both you and I are really interested in, family summons, which there's like the family system. So like that could be kind of interesting to dig into and like see how like the family systems are going to kind of work. I think that might be kind of the initial element of that. Alliances, that's going to be a big deal, you know, because that could majorly affect certainly on the server politics and just like overall, like, you know, how are we going to get zerged by mega alliances? So like that stuff can be kind of interesting. Castle sieges, I think we're both super excited to see how in depth those are, and
there's like
destructibility and all that type of stuff, and like kind of what you can and can't do during a siege. There's obviously something I'm super excited for, and I've mentioned before, like it just says naval. I assume that means like maybe naval combat or just maybe ships in general. So I don't know. We'll figure it out more then. But I was honestly expecting that to be more like an expansion. So maybe getting some of that.
I think Steven said that we're gonna start seeing the. I don't think they're gonna be dumping the whole naval system in phase three. If it does make phase three, but I do think we're gonna start seeing parts of it in phase three.
Yeah, he did mention, I think that's what he said, like building boats, and they're still kind of like figuring out like how they want that to work, like what components you're going to need for ships, which I want to be a shipwright like eventually, so like that would be kind of cool to get my hands on that maybe.
So we're gonna have to own an island is what you're saying?
I would love to. That would be,
we'll just own an island in the middle of the sea and then everyone will come to us for ship. Wait, how would they get there?
Well,
we need a ship to get there. We'll have to ferry him over.
Yeah, we'll send the ship. We'll figure out. Someone will taxi over the ship to them, and
we'll send you a ship.
We'll figure. Or you
just
buy a
boat, you get free passage.
Yeah, get a rowboat, row over. I don't know, or you know, get your seamount out and kind of come on over.
There you go.
But which is also coming, under, or as well as I think kind of like aquatic mounts in general, as well as underwater combat, which makes sense if they're introducing a new area that is going to be potentially underwater, right, with the Turquoise Sea. Sorry, I forgot the name already. And other things you can expect, again, some kind of traditional MMO things, transmogs, for all you diehards that like to look cool as you're out and about in the world. Dying gear, and I don't mean your gear will die, I do mean that it may change color, so they have like options like that. Pets, titles, and I accidentally put pets again, but maybe I was just subconsciously, because you know,
wow,
people care about pets.
Pets.
I love pets, yeah. So not as much as some in World of Warcraft that go like pet farming and things like that, but still pretty cool. Aerial combat, I don't know what I assume that has to do with like the flying mounts, which are pretty limited unless we're going to get like skyships or something, but I don't think that's been mentioned in the past. So who knows? Dueling. So for those of you that, you know, want to get your duel on, challenge somebody, you can have that. Mentions of religions, right? So I think in the past, you know, in-game religions are going to be part of the game and things like that. And obviously a big deal is going to be auction houses for economically inclined people that want to do that. So a lot there. Some major features, some kind of finishing out other features, like guilds will be in phase one, I believe it is, but we're going to, again, get like those fully functioning guilds and guild freeholds and, you know, castle sieges. So kind of, you know, major parts of guilds and what you'll be doing in a guild. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff. The naval stuff, I'm obviously super excited for. I don't think I said instanced content, but that'll be coming in potentially, which I think this is going to be like 20% of the content. So in terms of like the PvE or like dungeons and things like that potentially, so not a major thing, but still big. But yeah, a lot coming in there.
So I was digging into pets a little since you mentioned it twice. Ha ha ha. It looks like that anyone can get. There's three different types of pets. There's cosmetic pets, obviously. There's combat pets, which summoners can, I believe. So summoners believe can do more with pets. I think they can summon them and stuff. I'm not 100% sure on that. So, and then there, combat pets can be have any archetype. So you could be a rogue and still have a combat pet that fights along you.
Perfect.
So, which is cool. And then what was it? Yeah. Yeah, so there's just outside the summoner things, there's yeah, there so anyone can have a combat pet. So they're more than just like, at least in WoW, they're just like for Pokemon battles and they run around with you pretty much. Whereas in this, it seems like you can have a combat pet, and it looks like there'll be different pet types and rarities, and you can't use them in dungeons or instances or other spaces. But like, I guess if you're solo out in the world, you can have a pet with you to help you out. So it looks like they were, they will also add here, we probably do a podcast about pets.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it looks like they were add here to a Trinity structure, so you can have a tank, DPS, or a support pet.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
It will be interesting, like open world kind of PvP. You know, if there's like these big ass battles going on, and like there's like everybody has a pet, and it just there's just like a legion of like dogs like running at you or something, because everyone has like a dog pet or you know something. But that
well, would be kind of interesting. Yeah, they might be. So yeah, there is not too much, like I said, this is more of a thing we should discuss maybe on a podcast before Alpha 2 talk starts, because I'm actually, now that I read about this, I'm really interested in it, because like I said, I do keep myself in the dark in some stuff in Ashes, and like I said, the wiki, you could spend like 3 weeks digging through it and still learn stuff, so it's kind of cool to stumble upon it like doing a random podcast.
Yeah, so, pets are cool too. So
yeah, they are cool. I do like them, as long as they do more than what they do in WoW. Like, unless you're a hunter, but
yeah,
it's
always been difficult, because they obviously can present balancing issues. Like I mentioned, like having a, you know, if you got 100 versus 100 battle going on, and like everybody has a pet, like that could obviously cause some issues potentially. But they are pretty cool, and. There's not too many games I can think of, you know, that get them right. Even like D&D, like pets were always kind of a, because there was a ranger class where you could kind of have like a pet, and it fought, and it was honestly pretty weak because it didn't really scale with you and things like that. So it'll be cool to see like how they function and operate and things like that. But yeah, so a lot of stuff going on.
I'll give you just the rundown of how pets work, at least in MMOs, from what I've known. They're either broken beyond belief and people hate them,
or useless,
or the useless,
yeah, right?
But people still love them regardless. They like having like a little, at least in WoW, people like having little flaming unique birds following them around and stuff like that. I mean, I like that too, but I also like some depth to the system, so
yeah,
it's really cool that they're at least making it so, I guess if every class can use a pet, maybe summoners can do a little more with them, obviously, because that's what they're designed around, then maybe there is room for more balance there, because at least everyone has one, right? So
yeah,
it's not as a more of a balanced nightmare, because like at least in other games where they're unbalanced, you know, the people that usually have the pets and the people that don't are the ones that screwed over.
Yeah, and they're just fun. I just like, I remember having like a little tiger in World of Warcraft, and I lost this account, but I had like the collector's edition of World of Warcraft, and I think you got like a little imp or demon or something like that. It was kind of cool to have him. But yeah, it'll be fun to get that.
It was Diablo. Okay. Yes. And you lost that account. You know how much that account is worth?
Holy, a lot. I know. I don't know where it went or what happened to it or wherever it went in the ether. That was a long time ago. But yeah, so that'll be cool. I'm really excited to see how the guilds, like, because it says fully functioning guilds, which is obviously a little vague. But I do hope we get like the guild skill and kind of progression paths, because that I think that's a major part of the game. We did a previous podcast, shout out to them, the previous podcast, but where we kind of broke down guilds and stuff like that. And one of the major selling points to me for like potentially wanting to be like in a smaller guild is that you'll have access to more things within the progression. Like if you're a massive guild and you've got like 300 people, like you're not going to be able to really get that far down that progression path, like that skill tree, to kind of like customize what you wanted to do. And we theorized like, oh, like maybe you can be like a guild that specializes in like, you know, doing castle sieges and stuff like that. And, or maybe you're like specialization is like crafting, you're a crafting guild. So hopefully if we get some access to that stuff, I'm really interested. Like if we have like a little small guild going, like how much of a, you know, difference is that going to make as a smaller guild versus like a larger guild that doesn't have access to some of those skills and abilities and stuff like that. So that'll be kind of fun to poke around and play test.
Yeah, and speaking of guilds, I'm still work. I know I announced a guild a while ago, and a lot of stuff came up IRL that kind of derailed me. I am working on the doc for that guild for our, I guess I could call it our podcast guild, but whatever you call whatever you want. But I'm working on that doc, and I would actually would like to try to make. I'm gonna try and finish that document up soon, and I'm gonna make it public, and if. Or at least publicly readable. And then people can look at it and decide whether they want to try it out. I do know one thing is that if I do make a guild, at least if right now this is kind of testing the waters. So if I do make a guild for actual launch, it's not going to be a mass size guild. It's going to be more like under 50 players type of deal. Because I don't like Zerg. I don't like running a guild with him. I'm gonna be a little more focused, but those are one of the little details I can give you, and I'm still working on it. It's difficult to try and get all the ins and outs of a guild put together. So mostly it's just for Alpha 2 right now.
But yeah, it'll be fun to see. Like I said, I think just being a small guild in general is just kind of fun, and like hopefully like those progression path and skills will really open up some opportunities for smaller guilds to be able to kind of like function and compete and maybe like specialize in certain areas, which I think is a lot of fun. Like, you know, there's always been games where you know, obviously there's zerging and stuff like that with like big guilds and mega alliances, and unfortunately it never felt like, I'll give you like Atlas for example, where you pretty much had to be in one of the mega guilds and alliances. But like, I always wished there was an opportunity to be like in a smaller alliance, but still be able to compete. Like, you know, whether it's like maybe you could have a faster ship, or like, you know, so you could like kind of be like guerrilla tactics, hit and run, and things like that. And unfortunately, it never really catered to that. But I'm hoping that'll maybe be the case in Ashes, because there are going to be like these progression paths, and again, potentially you have the option to go further down and get more skill points if you are a smaller guild. So like, I really want to see how that functions. I hope it's hope it functions well, and or if not, we can certainly give our feedback and hopefully kind of, you know, have that kind of taken a look at. But it's really exciting. I'm definitely excited to get my hands on and see what that's like.
Definitely, yep. How they deal with the difference between big and small guilds is going to be very key.
Definitely. And like I said, nothing, we won't get too big into. One of my ideas is I really would love to do like a podcast episode on like naval stuff, naval combat, because it really does interest me. So again, that'll be there, instance content, transmog and titles and all that. And I don't know if anything kind of sticks out to you there that you wanted to dig in before we kind of move on to like new content, which is really not much to get into potentially here, but and kind of wrap things up.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to dive into some of these topics, it's just a lot we just don't know. And I just feel like as we get closer to Alpha 2 launch here, we're kind of treading on water, right? Right now. It's just like there's a lot to talk about, but at the same time, some of this stuff could change so drastically in the next few months to year, right? It's hard to talk about stuff without being like, oh no, this could do a 180. Like you want to talk about naval, and it's like naval combat, and it's just like I would love to, but I also feel like we don't know enough about it, and we just it's, there's just I don't know. I just feel like there's not enough info out there really. Like they have a general idea how they want naval to work, but will it be implemented in that way, and how much will it change between launch and I feel like there are some things we could talk about because once, like I said, once Alpha 2 starts, we're just going to be just playing Alpha 2 every weekend and then kind of doing recaps, maybe talking about some of the systems we encountered and breaking them down, hopefully with a voice podcast and a video podcast. We're going to try to do both. I don't know if we'll be able to because that's a lot of work. We'll see. But yeah. We're getting into kind of like, what is it, no man's land here with content because Alpha 2 is right around the fucking corner and, you know, everything's about to change, so.
Yeah, it's the awkward phase, you know, where it's so close. Like obviously we really just want to like focus on you know, things that are going to be related to Alpha 2 launch and things like that. But obviously we're limited in kind of like what we know until we get our hands on the game. But I think we'll come up with some stuff. So bear with us the next few weeks and as we kind of sort things out and figure things out and kind of, you know, once the game does come out of Alpha 2, like I said, the plan is for definitely to increase like the different types of content. So maybe like some videos and like some short videos and some longer videos and kind of going into stuff as well as our usual podcast where we're probably just kind of like saying like, hey, like we played a cleric this week and, you know, here's kind of our thoughts. Here's some like constructive feedback and, you know, here's what we liked and here's what we, you know, found interesting, blah, blah, blah. But so that'll be kind of interesting to see how it all unfolds. But I guess we'll kind of move in and kind of wrap up here towards just some final content, news content stuff. Again, there's really not much to talk about. It's mostly just additional stuff. Obviously castles are going to be pretty big, like when we get that, so that is mentioned. And then it mentions treasure maps again, presumably new treasure maps for the new areas as well as dynamic events and story arcs and dungeons. So nothing really new here, stuff we've already kind of talked about in the previous phases, but just new stuff that will probably be in the new areas. But they did mention also Kickstarter cosmetics. So if anyone's a Kickstarter backer, you'll start to see some of those things hopefully in phase three and get those, as well as monster coins, which, you know, will be potentially, you know, in phase three or kind of leading into beta as well. So that could be something that we could definitely dig into because that's pretty kind of a cool mechanic. But not a ton of new stuff, more just getting more stuff in different areas, hopefully.
Yeah, so we're getting to the end of the podcast this week, and I feel like since technically we have on our document right now, join us next week, and it says TBD. So let's decide in real time, without deciding beforehand, what we're going to talk about next week, just because it's fun. Why not, right? Yeah. And I'm going to put my vote towards pets.
Okay,
I want to talk about the monster coins, okay? I want to talk about those. We'll probably do that the week after, honestly, because that would be a great thing to follow into. So, like, I really want to talk about pets because I just briefly skimmed over that page and it was really cool. So I think maybe that's something we could dive into that's kind of interesting, but maybe not. There's a lot of info there, but it's not, like, too Alpha 2-ish. The system's not going to be implemented yet, but it's just an interesting concept to talk about, kind of like monster coins that will be added later that we could be looking forward to in the future.
Yeah,
stuff that may not be there with Alpha 2, because we're going to be covering a lot of Alpha 2 stuff in general, right? So we might as well cover that while Alpha 2 is going, and maybe we could start looking forward to things that they'll implement later, like pets, and that should be in I think phase three, maybe. Yeah, phase three. So just stuff further out that are systems that may not be talked about as much. And pets is one of them, and monster coins is another. And maybe after those two podcasts, we will do another real-time dig in for the next two podcasts as we lead up to Alpha 2 here.
Yeah, and let us know if you have suggestions. We will certainly take them to heart. But yeah, I think pets will be a good one. There's a lot to it. I think a lot of people like pets too, so that's definitely something we kind of dig into and talk about it. And it sounds like there's more to it than just like cosmetic pets too. So there's a lot going on and it should be kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And I like pets. So definitely. Pets are cool. Yes. Both in real life and in game, for sure. But yeah.
I call them companions.
Yeah.
I know people call them pets, but I feel like that word is...
For me, they're family, you know?
Yeah, they're family. My cat is my family. And I guess... once we start actually doing video content, you'll probably see my cat jump up behind me on my bed. So
yeah, I don't know if you'll see my dog. I think the camera is kind of positioned where when she walks in, you don't really see her. But yeah, you might. She's a big old golden retriever. So maybe you will. Hopefully, I can get a dog pet in game. And
dog,
have,
you're gonna have to get a dog cam now. You set yourself up for it.
Maybe. But yeah, I think we'll kind of wrap things up here. That was a pretty good long episode. Obviously, there's obviously a lot to talk to. Again, subject to talk about, and obviously subject to change, obviously, because that's a long ways away. And like, this is going to be like at least a year long, potentially, phase three. So again, if it were to begin in May, which I personally believe it will get delayed, because there's so much can change. Things will happen. And so if
you should assume it will is basically the smart thing. The smart thing is assume it will get delayed, or if it does launch in May, it'll be some stuff will be cut back because I can't make it.
Yeah.
That's the best way. And if they add more than you think, then guess what? Your expectations were low and you'll be happier.
Yeah. And if it does last just 1 year, which again, it could potentially go longer, and it did launch in May, that takes us to a, you know, potential, you know, beta potentially coming around in May 2026. So, and who knows how long beta might be and, you know, things like that. So it, 2026, again, I would say probably end of 2026 if we're lucky for launch, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was more like early 2027 or something like that.
Yeah, that's a hopium launch, and it's also, it also really depends on how fast they can iterate. Like, they have plans for major content patches every 6 weeks with alpha starts. So can they keep that pace? Like, will that break the team? Will they have to slow it down? How many issues do they run into? There's just so many factors. It's just like, you know, let them do their thing. They're very open with communication. We'll get to launch eventually. I want, like I said, Steven said he wanted, if he could launch the game tomorrow, he would, but he doesn't want to because it wouldn't be in a good state. There's not much there actually as a game, right? Like, there's only a couple of zones, and that's not really a game. That's just, so we'll get there.
Yeah, for sure. But looking forward to it all, and hopefully you all enjoyed this. And again, look forward to next week. I guess we'll be talking about pets, you know, so get ready for that and kind of digging into that a little bit. That should be kind of fun. But if you enjoyed, again, you're watching or listening on YouTube, again, subscribe. We would love to hear you and kind of have you aboard here. Obviously, our podcast platforms of choice, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those things, we're available there in case you want to listen to us on the go and all that good stuff. Join our Discord. Again, we're trying to convince people to get into the Discord. I'm sure, like, once we have like guild stuff going on, people will potentially be in there. So come on in, join the conversation. We'd love to hear like suggestions and feedback, anything you have to say. And again, leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice if you're listening along there. But yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and leave things here and look forward to next week. So we'll see you all next week.
See y'all next week.